WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. If you live outside Texas, chances are you've never heard any songs written by my guest, Jo Carol Pierce. That's why her friends and admirers just recorded her songs on a tribute album called Across the Great Divide. She's very popular in Austin, where she now lives. This year, she won Austin Music Awards for Album of the Year and Songwriter of the Year. Billboard described the new album as an amazing introduction to a unique songsmith. Let me play you one of my favorite tracks. This is the song Ruby. It's sung by Troy Campbell, who also produced the album.
Ruby, 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 I've honored your name. I've often called you my sweetheart. I've even called you my friend. Ruby, I never thought I would be calling you somebody I used to know. Well, the lines are all down in this West Texas town. I guess I'll just leave you alone. Shines down on our full house of food. Ruby, so soon to say goodbye to my dark, shiny jewel.
We'll hear more of Jo Carol Pierce's songs a little later. Pierce is just beginning to establish herself nationally as a songwriter at the age of 47. She also works as a social worker answering a hotline. This week she's in Philadelphia performing with several other artists from Texas in a work in progress called Chippy, Diaries of a West Texas Hooker, as part of the American Music Theater Festival. Pierce stopped by our studio, and I asked her how other musicians started doing her songs. She told me it happened after she started performing them a few years ago. Here's how she started performing.
I was writing this musical, which was supposed to be a standard kind of musical, and every time I'd get the material and try to fit it into those type of slots, it would just crack, because the material is kind of abstract in lots of ways. So these friends of mine from Dallas said, come up and open for us. And I said, well, whatever would I do? And they said, well, just tell the bad girl story and sing the songs like you do in the living room. So that's what I did, and I hit some of the worst, most horrible, hideous notes. And people just died laughing, and it was a big hit in Dallas. So I started doing the same format, which is an odd kind of stand-up comedy, theater, and songs in Austin. And then it was a big hit with musicians, and these friends, David Halley and J.D. Foster, started working on it with me, and they were real hot in the Austin music scene, and they just started getting me gigs and kind of saying to the Austin music public, listen to this, this is something special, bless those boys.
The show that you did that used your stories and mm-hmm. your songs was called Bad Girls Upset by the Truth. Were you a bad girl?
Well, yeah. I was a bad girl, but, you know, in the story that I do, it talks about 157 boys. I'm thanking Jesus for the 157 perfect boys that he gave me. And there weren't really 157 boys. I know people see the show and they get up and say, is Jo Carol really like that? But in terms of what I really think a bad girl is just one that doesn't go for the regular deal. Because I was raised up, and it was a very business-like thing, the way romance and everything was presented to me, is that you bargain your virginity for lifetime security. And, you know, a whole generation of us just couldn't fit in that way. And so we did other things. But, I mean, you had to do other things. You had to break the rules to have any kind of a life in Lubbock, Texas, when I was growing up in the 50s and 60s.
Tell me a little bit more about what it was like to be a girl growing up in Lubbock in the 50s and 60s.
Well, it was, I remember, you know, Jimmy Dale and I went together when we were in high school, and I remember when I was about 15, 16, he said, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, I want to be a pilot. And he said, there are no women pilots. You can't be a pilot. And it was the first time that had ever dawned on me. And I started looking around, and there weren't any women pilots. But there weren't no opportunities for girls to really do anything in school. I mean, like PE was calisthenics and maybe some dance lessons and stuff like that. It was pretty frightening.
Did you have your adventures through boys since it was more difficult for girls to do things?
Oh, yeah. I really expressed myself through boys, you know. But and until I was in my early 20s, I really didn't have any girlfriends. I just ran around with this pack of boys, and I loved being the only girl in this pack of boys. I had no idea what I was missing out on, not having any girlfriends, but that's the way it was, and I was kind of the token girl and also the queen girl, you know.
The queen girl?
The queen girl.
What does that mean?
Oh, just that I was the only girl, so, you know, it was just a fun position of authority in that group of boys.
Several of your songs have cars in pretty prominent spots in them. What were cars really important to kind of get out and get away?
Oh, man, you had to have wheels. Yeah, that was the only way you could get out. And then just for entertainment, just driving around, that was, you know, jumping bar ditches in your parents' car. That was it. That was the only entertainment after you'd already seen the movie show that came for that week, you know.
A good place to neck also.
Yeah, right.
There's a song of yours I want to play that has to do with boyfriends and cars, and it's called My Boyfriend. Do you want to say anything about the song before we hear it?
Well, I just love these girls that do this song. They're called Pork, and I was real amazed that they chose this song because to me it was just a real lyrical, sweet, romantic song, and then when I heard their cut on it, I just died laughing, and I just bust out laughing every time I hear them do it. I just love it.
And this is from the tribute album to Jo Carol Pierce. It's several singers doing her songs. The album's called Across the Great Divide, and this is My Boyfriend.
He's like a new car. He's like a fine new car. Takes me everywhere with him. Pull the top down so we can ride around. We can ride this wild blue wind through this lonesome town. You know deep down, only nights like this are meant for burning down. Gonna burn it down again. Just burn. He's a wild card in your cup of gin, the house of cards your heart lives in. Joker's knocking on your door again. You can try hard to ignore him, but your cards are folding up in silky tent. He plays her heart before him. Play.
In your one-person show that we were talking about, mm-hmm. You talk a lot about being called crazy, mm-hmm. and your mm-hmm. mother wanting to institutionalize you. I didn't know how much that was a device for the show and how much that came out of your life.
Oh, no, my mama didn't want to institutionalize me, but I always really did think I was crazy, and I think all bad girls had their doubts because... it was such a straight and narrow path, and I know whenever we did anything, and we're still like this a little bit, whenever we did anything that was not what we were supposed to do, we always said we were mean. And I look back and I think, we were anything but mean, but that was our idea of, because you had to be mean to break all these many strictures. And so we thought we were mean. And we've always, you know, made it kind of a good deal to be mean and talked about who was the meanest girl from Lubbock, and who, which there was no doubt about who that was and who was the second meanest and all that.
Who was the meanest girl?
The meanest girl was Barbara Bass, and she was my best friend, and she kind of taught us all how to be bad girls in a lot of ways. She was an extremely subversive person. and very much adored by a real influence on many, many women around Lubbock and Austin, and also one of the main ones who gave us a lot of encouragement for being creative.
You say that in the show, you say that your mother used to take you to mental hospitals to demonstrate what happened to bad girls.
My mama didn't do that, but I know I modeled the mother in Bad Girls after my dear friend's mother, who did do that. And there were some women in her family who had been put in the mental hospital. And it was always thought that her mother was crazy. Her mother is one of the most delightful people I've ever known. She's a constant stand-up comic. But she's undergone a lot of stress, just trying to find a way to express herself in a narrow life form. And she did. She used to pee behind trees in public parks and she didn't have any kind of philosophy or anything like that, and neither did we. But it was extremely encouraging to me to meet. She was like one of the first real human adult voices that I ever heard, and she had a tremendous influence on me. This was Barbara's mother.
My guest is songwriter Jo Carroll Pierce. Her new tribute album is called Across the Great Divide. Back after this break. This is Fresh Air. Austin-based songwriter Jo Carroll Pierce is my guest. If you expressed yourself through boys when you were a teenager, was it hard to break yourself of that habit when?
Oh yeah.
When you grew up,
especially
when you grew up and got married.
When did I grow up? Yeah, it was. There were always been lots of darling boys around that caught my interest. And I think I just had a certain amount of running around to do, and quite a lot, you know, 20, 30, 40 years of running around to do to get it at all out of my system. And also I had many fears about getting married, since I didn't grow up with any. And the idea that I grew up with, and I think this was a subtext from my mother and from other mothers of our generation, was... Well, my mama in the play, and my mama really did say, men are a pack of savages, but you have got to capture one to protect you from all the rest. She really did say that. And I grew up with the idea that marriage was a horrible, hideous way for a woman to live, but you had to get married. So I had a lot of real ambivalent feelings about that sort of life, although I have been married several times.
How many?
Three.
So, your first marriage was to Jimmy Dale Gilmore, mm-hmm, who had been your high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
Did you move from Lubbock when you got married?
Well, we ran off right after my daughter was born, and she was about 5 weeks old, and we headed out in an old Rambler and $65 and moved to Los Angeles so that he could be a musician. And then we moved back to Lubbock, you know, several times. People were always trying to escape from Lubbock, and for many years you just kept getting busted back there, and you know, pretty soon your friends would be busted back there too and stuff, and then we all kind of eventually settled in Austin.
And I don't know, it seems like Austin has a whole subculture of people who are different, who kind of escaped from smaller towns in
everybody
Texas,
in Texas
migrated
who wants
to Austin
to live.
So you like it there?
Yeah, it's a wonderful town.
When you had your daughter, did you encourage her to be different, or did you have this instinct that as a mother you should try to encourage your daughter to be, quote, normal?
Well, it would have been so silly for a person like me to be spouting normality to her, but I did find that my values for myself were adventure and fun, and my values for my daughter were bodily integrity and survival. They were real different. But I didn't even have to do any of that, because she, I think just in self-defense from me and Jimmy both being kind of spacey, kind of chaotic, you know, and not needing a lot of security, Elise grew up to be a person with her feet firmly planted on the ground. So we raised an adult.
One of the songs on your new record is called Reunion,
mm-hmm.
and Jimmy Dale mm-hmm. Gilmore sings it.
Right.
Did you ever think that one day he'd be singing one of your songs back when he was the musician and you probably thought of yourself as having nothing to do with music?
I always loved music so much. Yeah, I actually did think that maybe he would sing one of my songs. But it was still kind of a surprise, too. And I didn't, when we started putting together this tribute album, I didn't ask Jimmy. He was so busy. You know, he's really got a lot of stuff going on and a big electric contract. And we're real successful exes, and we're very fond of each other. And I didn't want to presume on my friendship to him. And then I ran into him in the grocery store one time, and he said, "You have to let me sing Reunion." And he sang it to me right over in the produce section. And, of course, I mean, when I wrote that song, I thought of Jimmy, because nobody can sing that song like Jimmy Dale does. And it's just beautiful what he does with that song. And Jimmy's voice has always inspired me musically. It is like nothing I ever heard, you know.
Well, I want to play that song.
Yeah.
This is Joe Carroll Pierce's song Reunion, and singing is Jimmy Dale Gilmore.
It's today you say you're leaving, darling. Time comes when you must follow your own star. And though my silly mind is sick with fear, in my heart I know that these differences just go to show how much the same we are. Someday we'll build a new home up in the canyon by the falls, splashing water our companion under shooting stars. And when Mother Earth and Father Time reunite us one more time, we'll remember that we've never been apart.
That's a song by Joe Carroll Pierce from the new album Across the Great Divide, which features a lot of singers performing her songs. Since when you were younger, it seems like you really gravitated to men who were musicians. When you started being a songwriter yourself and mm-hmm. could fulfill that part of you through your own work,
mm-hmm.
did it become less important to fall in love with men who were musicians because you were able to make your own music?
It really did. Yeah, my boyfriend now is an artist, but he's a musician too, of course. I don't know. Music was such a big part of the wonderfulness of growing up, a big part of the good stuff. I could never imagine a church that didn't have great music in it. That's one of the things that I've always wanted in church and I never could find. So it would be real hard for me to really get away from music. I would never get away from it. And doing it myself, it doesn't mean I don't still hang out with a lot of musicians. But there's some way where I don't have a romantic need for musicians in my life anymore.
Do you ever get angry and think to yourself that if you were growing up in a place and in a time where women were encouraged to go with their creative talents, that you could have been an established songwriter a long time ago?
I never do really actually think about that. It makes me more mad, you know, in terms of the younger kids coming up that I see, because I have a daughter, Anna. I see that in a lot of ways things haven't changed, and it doesn't make me mad about myself. I think I've had a most amazing, magical life, and I wouldn't really change it. I think that growing up in Lubbock in that little box made some, you know, it forced us, we're sort of like bonsai trees, you know, we're forced into some unusual, and I choose to accept it, kind of growth and perceptions that I wouldn't have had otherwise. I value the experience, but I don't want it to be that way for my daughter and my granddaughter. I do not. And some of the same attitudes I see, they really do make me angry now. But I take responsibility. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of a timid person, and that I just had a lot of growing to do. I really was pretty crazy and pretty miserably unhappy in my 20s, and I had to go through a lot of stuff to get to a place where I had enough energy left for myself to write songs with, really. So I really don't think it could have been any other way. I'm a tumultuous sort of person and had to just get through some of the major storms.
What made you miserable in your 20s?
Oh, God. I had a lot of childhood stuff to work out, I think. And I can't, it's real hard for me to be analytical. And so it was always hard to know exactly what it was. But I know, I was real surprised that I was much happier in my 30s. And then I've been really happy in my 40s, amazingly enough.
Jo Carol Pierce, it's really been a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, I really enjoyed it.
Jo Carol Pierce's new tribute album is called Across the Great Divide. It's distributed by Rounder Records.